Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I really love the Gospel of Mark. It's fresh every time I read it. It's a really great read, especially in the original Greek, because in the Greek you get the sense of that the author is just so excited to get this story out. I kind of imagine him standing in front of a crowd and just spewing forth this fantastic, incredible story of Jesus of Nazareth. And I picture somebody sitting out in the crowd, you know, with pen and paper in hand, furiously writing away as Mark reveals this, the drama, the passion, the life of Jesus, and as it's infused in the listeners' ears and hearts and souls. Too often, though, in my opinion at least, English translations attempt to clean up the poor grammar, questionable use of pronouns, and the repetition of words and phrases that Mark uses. As an example, this is how a a word-for-word translation of Mark would sound. And Jesus, having crossed over in the boat again to the other side, was gathered together in a large crowd to him, and he was beside the lake. And out comes one of the synagogue leaders by the name of Jairus, and having seen him, he falls down at the feet of him and begs him earnestly, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death, that having come, you may put your hand on her in order that she may be saved and lived." And he went with him. And following him were a large crowd, and they were pressing against him. And a woman, being with a flow of blood 12 years, and having suffered much by many physicians, and having spent everything with her, and having benefited nothing, but rather into a worse having come, and having heard about Jesus, and having come to the crowd behind, she touched the garment of him, for she was saying, "If I may touch even his garments, I will be healed." And immediately was dried up the fountain of blood in her, and she knew in the body that she had been cured from the terrible affliction. Immediately, Jesus, having known within himself the power having gone out from him, having turned around in the crowd, he was saying, "Who touched my garments?" And saying to him, the disciples of him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he was looking around to see the one having done this now. Now the woman was fearing and trembling, having known what had happened to her. She came and fell down before him and said to him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, the faith of you has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from the affliction of you." I need to pause there. This works so much better in early worship when I had my voice and I could actually talk. And I said that all pretty much in one breath. But hopefully, you get the picture of what Mark was doing there. Now, there's a couple of things that I would like to point out, a couple of differences between that transliteration and what I read with the New Revised Standard Version a few moments before. First of all, hopefully, you caught the jumping around of tenses, right? Because present tense, past tense, it doesn't really matter to Mark. He's in such a hurry to get that message out because for Mark, things are immediately. You heard that word twice in what I just read. It's four times in our passage. And in all of Scripture, the word immediately is used 78 times. 27 of those times are in Mark's gospel. That's how immediate things are for him. Because it's important to Mark. It's immediate. It's right now. Also in our passage, Mark uses the word sothein, which in the translation of the New Revised Version said to be healed, which is indeed an acceptable translation of that word, but it literally means, as you heard in my translation, to be saved. In verse 23, where Dad Jairus comes to Jesus, "Put your hands on my daughter that she may be saved and live." And again in verse 34, where Jesus says to the woman with the hemorrhage, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Now, I want to be careful, though, at this point, not to veer off into works righteousness. That's one of those big churchy phrases that not a whole lot of people outside of the church really know what it means. But to be honest, not a whole lot of churches within the church knows what that means either. So when pastors use that phrase, works righteousness, we're meaning the thought that by doing good things, by feeding the hungry, by visiting people in prison, by donating to church and other charitable organizations, being a part of Big Sister or Big Brother or whatever it is that you're doing, that the thinking that by doing something good, by doing something unselfish, by doing something faithful, that is going to make us earn God's love. That we are going to make God love us. If I do enough good things, God will have to love me. God will have to let me into heaven. Now, please don't get me wrong. Those are all great things to do. So please do go and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in trouble, and definitely help any kids that you see in need. I was reminded by Marianne of a quote from Martin Luther, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. By doing those good things, we don't earn God's grace and love and forgiveness, because those are already given to us freely with no strings attached. They are given to us through the death and resurrection of Christ. But what was it that Jesus told both Jairus and the woman? What did he say saved them? Faith. The faith of Jairus that he had in Jesus, that he could save slash heal his daughter. The faith that this unnamed woman had, that Jesus could save slash heal her when no one else had been able to. Both of these people acted on faith. Jairus by asking on behalf of his daughter, the woman by reaching out and touching Jesus' cloak. God gives us faith. A lot then depends on our own personalities. Mark got that faith, and he couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't even slow down enough to write a good, grammatically correct gospel. Jairus got that faith, which compelled him to brave the crowds and approach this radical, kind of weird new teacher that he had heard about. This poor, disadvantaged, socially ostracized woman had the faith to go where she was not allowed to go, amongst crowds, and to do what she was not supposed to do, have contact with a man to whom she was not related. Now, by virtue of our baptism, God has given us faith. By the simple fact of you all being here this morning must mean that God is active in your hearts, urging you to whatever acts of faith that you are called to, whatever acts of faith you are capable of. We can choose to reject that gift of faith. However, we are called to act on that faith. In God's name, to reach out. In God's name, touch the hearts and minds and faith of all those around us, be it at work, at school, at home, in our neighborhoods. Allow God to fill your heart. Move your hands. Reach out with God's grace and strength and love and forgiveness, and allow yourself to be sothan, to be healed, to be saved. Amen.